from the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Well, just easy for you to say. I mean, really. I mean, Shirley, our offstage announcer, just sits there, and, you know, that's all she does. Says it, you know. Come on, man, do something else. Help. Well, I don't know what I'm babbling about. It's May 16th. I know that, so that's good. Always good to have a date here, and you go from there, right? And it is Tuesday, so that's good. That means Andrew Goss is going to be here tomorrow, and the real world of money. We're going to talk about dark field microscopy. And I think we're going to, I'll email her after the show and talk with Janet Perry. Got a little slot open and formerly stage 4 breast cancer, and we'll see where she is. And she's got some interesting stories to tell. Along the way, here's a lady that did the whole cancer thing without doing the conventional medicine, even though she spent time back and forth to the oncologist because she wanted to document with the boys, with the Beaker boys, of what was going on. She thought that once she ditched the cancer, that she'd be able to help more people if she had some documentation from the Beaker boys. You know, we call them the Beaker boys, which are actually big pharma, you know, the meds and, you know, that whole thing. I don't even know what it is. It's just one big glob. Dr. Andrew Weil will be here tomorrow. I'm sorry, he'll be here in an hour. Dr. Andrew Weil also has a new book out. This one's about the Beaker boys as well, Mind Over Meds. And he says, Dr. Weil says they're not doing a very good job out there, so... Mind Over Meds challenges that assumes the medication is always the best way to treat illnesses. I think this is Dr. Weil's 15th book. Wow. Well, first up this morning is a great lady who we've had on the show before. People really loved her. She's just a fireball and doing a lot of cool stuff. I don't even know how her husband or... if she's got a husband or if her animals, I don't even know how they even keep up with her, but she just keeps on rocking and rolling. Her name is Judy Hoy. She's up in Bittermont Valley, Montana, which is about 40 miles south of Missoula. And Judy Hoy has mountains on either side of her house or her home, right, Judy? Mountains on either side.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Yes, they're called the Bitterroot Mountains on the west and the Sapphire Mountains on the east.
Oh, I bet it's beautiful.
Oh, it's really pretty, yes. It's very pretty.
And are there snow on those mountaintops right now when you look at them?
Yes, the snow's still there, although it's melting. It's melting, but it isn't melting as fast as sometimes because it's been cooler. The weather has been cooler, but not cold, but cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Cool enough so that the snow doesn't melt.
Do y'all get a lot of snow generally in the valley there over the winter months?
Oh, well, not since the global warming started kicking in really bad. I started tracking that in the 1970s, but everybody thought I was crazy, and everybody keeps saying the scientists are crazy, but back then, back in the 70s, we had lots of snow, even in, I mean, up until, well, it usually melted by now, but, I mean, in the valley bottom. It would usually melt by the end of March or during April. But now we don't have very much snow in the winter.
So you're not getting.
So it's sort of like the banana belt now.
You're not getting as much precipitation as you did before.
Well, except for this year, we got quite a bit of precipitation this year, but we were in about a 12-year drought.
Oh, I see. Yeah, and just when cold enough to make it hard water or whatever. Yeah.
And so this year we the drought broke all over Montana. So none of Montana except one tiny little piece on the very far east is the only place that still has not enough water.
Oh, I see. Okay.
In all of Montana. And Montana is very big.
Yeah, yeah. So this has been a 12-year span. So good for you. You might go another 12 years and get a lot of snow and rain.
Yeah. Well, yes, it's kind of hard to tell.
Sure, you never know.
With the weather, you never know. With being in a valley with big mountains on one side, the weather fronts come across the valley really fast, so it can be raining and then 10 minutes later the sun's shining.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool. So you have done a lot of work, Judy Hoy, over the years on the chemicals and their effects on humans, and this all started with your looking at the different critters, the little animals that you tell. First off, tell us about that. Where do you find these animals? And I know you got a lot of you take care of a lot of them. I mean, are there that many?
Oh, I've been a wildlife rehabilitator, and you have to have licenses to do that.
Uh-huh.
Several licenses, state licenses, federal licenses. So you don't just go out and take care of little animals with no.
I see.
but I've been a wildlife rehabilitator for about 46 years now.
Wow.
So I have taken care of a lot of little animals, and then so I knew what they looked like and what they were doing before 1994 and 95. And then in 1994, we have some little critters called yellow-bellied marmots that live in our barnyard. And because somebody put a lot of cement there because they had a pig farm, and the marmots live under the cement. And in 1994, in the summer, all the babies died, and I thought that was kind of strange. And then in 1995, lots of little deer and goats and horses and cattle and you name it. I wasn't taking care of all of those critters, but my neighbors have the livestock, and I had goats. And they started having crooked legs and underbites and you name it, and dying. And all of the baby marmots in the summer of 1994 died. And then all these birth defects started in 1995. And a lot of little marmots had birth defects in 1995. And I thought that was kind of strange. And so in 96, I started measuring both the underbites on the deer or the bites on the deer. I measured them if they were normal or had an underbite or some, and no deer here had overbites, but in other places some had overbites, but I didn't find that out until a couple of years later. But I also started measuring the genitalia on the males, because my husband was a game warden and he picked up lots and lots of deer. So deer was my primary study animal, and that was the only reason, was because I had lots of dead ones to measure. And so I measured, by the time we published our second study in 2011 on the underbites, overbites, and facial malformations in general, I had measured over 1,000 animals, I mean the bites on 1,000 animals, but nobody seemed to care. But little kids, found out that little kids that throughout the world, actually, the United States and other countries, had an epidemic of underbite between 1994 and 2001. But lately, I've asked doctors lately, the last 5 or 6 or 7 years, when I ask dentists, they say that overbite is more common on children now than underbites. And the underbite epidemic sort of slacked off. And with the overbite, that the whole lower jaw, including the chin, is underdeveloped. With the with the underbite, it's the lower jaw is totally normal, but the upper face is underdeveloped, and sometimes the whole skull, meaning that the brain is also underdeveloped, because if the skull's underdeveloped, of course the skull can't grow.
Right, right, right. So that's an interesting thing. So for 94 to 2001, there was mostly underbites, and then somehow did you then also see that change in the animals after the turn 2000?
Well, no. No? Actually, they on the deer and humans are somewhat different. Actually, humans are more closely they correspond more closely to malformations on humans correspond more closely to malformations on rodents, oddly enough. And on the deer, the underbites, the underdeveloped upper faces, they in 2001, they peaked at 56% on the deer here that I examined. Now, you have to remember, it was just the ones I examined, and so that's 100 or so a year at that time. And then they went down after 2001 through 2006, and then in 2006 it was 33%, so that was down considerable from 56%. But then in 2006, and then in 2007, it doubled in 1 year. I mean, somebody did something really horrible in 2006, because in 2007, the underbites went up to over 70%, and the heart defects just went, they just went off the charts. And guess what the number one birth defect on humans is now?
What's that? Hearts.
Heart defects.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Well, the one reason for that is because they don't even count genital malformations and underbites on children. I mean, the way they don't categorize it as a birth defect.
Yeah, it's just something that's going to take care of itself, and they don't even put it as a birth defect. Whereas the heart, they do.
Right.
So are you? Is most? What do you think? Is this the glyphosates, the chemicals, and the in the agriculture and all the stuff that you, this is what this is about, do you think?
Well, the interesting thing is that the most, in the study that Stephanie Seneff and Nancy Swanson and I did together, I sent them photos of the birth defects, including the underbites on the male genitalia, the heart defects, and on a lot of the little animals that are affected by the chemicals, they have thyroid hormone disruption and mineral deficiencies. And the mineral deficiency that causes the reproductive malformations is magnesium deficiency. Manganese deficiency causes the underbite, because without manganese, the calcium doesn't work right. So the manganese and calcium have to be at the right ratio, or they get the bone malformations. They get crooked legs and other things too, but not as often. For some reason, it targets the upper face on the deer on our study animals. Mm-hmm. Well, on all of the ruminants. That's deer, elk, cattle, horses, sheep, goats. that's not ruminants. Horses aren't ruminants, but it still targets this upper face on the horses. So I should say, I meant to say ungulates. When I'm talking about all of the grazing animals, it's ungulates. Ruminants are the ones with four stomachs and cloven hooves.
Right, right, right. Right.
So at any rate, the mineral that causes the mineral deficiency that causes the manganese and magnesium and zinc. Zinc causes the reproductive malformations. Zinc deficiency. Well, guess what chemical chelates all the minerals? Glyphosate.
Yes,
because Roundup was a patented mineral chelator before it was ever a herbicide. Roundup is also a patented antibiotic. How stupid is it to spray an antibiotic on everything?
Okay, your phone is starting to cut out. Do you have a phone over the internet?
I don't have a phone. Just a minute, I'll get a different phone.
This phone's not working here.
Does that one sound okay?
We're beginning to... I'm sorry?
Does that one sound better?
Yeah, this one sounds better. Okay, Judy Hoy is there. Stay right there. Stay on that phone. The other one was starting to crackle on us. If you have questions, comments, 888-663-6386. She has quite a vivid and beautiful PDF that we're going to figure out a way how you can get this. It's all about the animals and the homeopathic cell salts that she's talked about, and we'll touch on the main two that we have in our store. You can get, which is the bioplasma and the other one, that really helps with these stuff. And so with these issues, she's got some amazing pictures. And as you hear, she's worked with Stephanie Seneff on the glyphosate thing. And so Judy Hoy is with us. So if you care to join us, you can do the telephone thing, 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. And here's a show that we did with Stephanie, and she mentions about the sulfur component of this. Previously, with research scientists at MIT, Stephanie Seneff, PhD, and the curious connections between these glyphosates, Roundup, GMOs, and sulfur.
So if you simply put the glyphosate in place of the glycine in the sulfur transferase, you will not be able to get the sulfate from the cholesterol sulfate to some other molecule, such as the heparin sulfate. The cell won't be able to defend itself with sulfate if it can't put the sulfate there. But it's really, really important to be able to do that because, for example, cholesterol sulfate, it delivers sulfate to the cells. But in order to deliver it, you've got to take the sulfate off of the cholesterol and put it on something else. And that's where the sulfur transferase would come in and wouldn't be able to do that.
I know, gets a little geeky, but the point is that without the proper amount of sulfur in the body, and now it's being disrupted because of the GMOs, even more than what it was already doing, it's not good. So we think that this sulfur product that we've been promoting is really helping people to keep everything kind of working well, because this whole sulfur cycle is kind of God's way of keeping the bad guys out and exiting the body. And because our sulfur is absolutely pure with no additives, it's different from almost all the other ones out there. You can click an order, three prices, right on our website, oneradionetwork.com. Actually, obviously, we're not making any medical claims here, what sulfur is going to do, what it's not going to do. There's no telling. As past guests have said, sulfur has a love affair with heavy metals. So we know that it chelates heavy metals out of the body. And we know that the glyphosate thing and the sulfur cycle Stephanie talked about gets all screwed up with the glyphosates. And Judy Hoy just said that the glyphosate is actually antibiotic and messes with heavy metals. And yeah, it's pretty amazing. So people feel better taking this and just get more energy. That's probably the number one thing we get. So if you'd like to get some, you can order right online. And just if you like more than 4 pounds, just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. We have they've raised the postage pretty much a lot in Australia. So if you live in Australia and we get orders down there, we're going to have to start to have some special prices for you, raise the prices. That's weird. I know. If you would like to explore some colloidal silver, colloidal gold, colloidal copper in a in a monoatomic form and not a nano form, you can go to Nature's Pure Organics. There's a little ad right on the front page. Click on it and talk to Gary Hanna, and you can get some very, very high potencies. Just off the shelf, you can get 750 parts per million. And this is monoatomic, which is 3 million times smaller than nano. So this is pretty amazing stuff. I've been playing around with it, nebulizing it. I've been spraying. I diluted it down to about 500 parts per million, this monatomic silver, and then a spray bottle, and has been spraying on Doodle on my girl here for fleas. And boy, I tell you what, it's just, I'm pretty impressed with this. And I should talk to him about doing some kind of a pet spray, but I think all you got to do is do this. And I think it'd be really nice for cats too, because it's just like spraying a little water on them, a little mist, and the cats wouldn't freak out if you got some flea things going on. So it's pretty cool. These are cool products, and he's working on getting another source of selenium, and you can do that. And I think he also has magnesium. Monatomic colloidal gold, silver, and copper, Nature's Pure Organics. Click on it, the link to our website, or just go to Nature's Pure Organics and tell Gary we sent you, okay?
Know the source. One Radio Network.
Mary Pickford used to eat roses, thought that they'd make her beautiful, and they did. One supposes Douglas Fairbanks, he was so handsome, he wore a mustache, must have had much cash too.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com.
Judy Hoy's up in Montana, and she's been a wildlife rehabilitator for 46 years and seeing some pretty interesting things and doing a lot of research with the glyphosates and the chemicals and stuff. So up in Montana, how are all these little critters? Now, you're working with deer and birds and all kinds of varmints. How do they get exposed? First off, I got to ask you, how do you know after all this time that the glyphosates are causing these issues you're talking about? I mean, how do you know that for sure, Judy Hoy?
Well, actually, correlation does not prove causation.
Right.
But as I said before, when I worked with Stephanie and Seneff and Nancy Swanson on the study of lots of different birth defects, I sent them the photos of all the different birth defects and health issues that I was seeing on the animals, and Stephanie pulled the CDC records for a lot of problems, birth defects and health issues on human children, and the same ones that were on the animals were going up at about a 45-degree angle and matched glyphosate, the increase in the use of glyphosate from 85 to 98.5% on all of them. I mean, nothing was lower than 85% correlation, and that was 12 different issues.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. So when you're talking about glyphosate issues, Judy Hoy, are you saying when you and Stephanie and you do these kind of work, in this work, that you're looking at the whole glyphosate usage worldwide or countrywide?
No, nationwide.
Nationwide, okay. So
because the CDC records were for the United States.
I got you, yeah.
And so the glyphosate use was for the United States. And also, since you mentioned the cell salts, well, I discovered back in 1998, because I couldn't keep anything alive in 1997, and then I sort of accidentally... the critters just told me. No, I sort of accidentally discovered all the things that the two cell salts helped with, the CalcFloss 30X and the Bioplasma, although back then I used 6X. But the 30X works better because it stimulates bones to heal in half the normal time, and the 6X only two-thirds of the normal time, so I started using 30X instead of the 6X. My neighbor gave me this CalcFloss 6X to help the bones heal, and they did heal faster, but not as fast as with 30X.
I see. So those.
And then I started giving the Bioplasma and the CalcFloss to little critters, because I found out that that makes them not lactose intolerant, because anything that's connected to calcium deficiency or calcium not going where into the cells that need it was helped by the calc floss, and I gave them the bioplasma because that's all 12 cell salts in one tablet, but it only has 3X on the calc floss, and 3X just doesn't cut it with the for the calcium. You understand? Because the calcium is what's really getting hammered. Because not only does the glyphosate hammer the calcium, but the 2,4-D, the dicamba, and all of the other chemicals they use here in the Bitterroot Valley just hammer the heck out of the calcium. So the calcium doesn't go into the cells that need it. And that your brain needs the calcium to go in and out of your brain cells a whole lot of times per second. I can't even remember. But if they can't, then your brain doesn't work.
And so
if they can't, nothing else works.
So that makes sense. The conjecture then on the unders and the overs, if the calcium system is getting messed up through the chemicals, then it would make sense, and the jaw wouldn't have enough energy to either up or lower to grow to the proper size.
Yes, but I could never figure out why it was targeting those specific bones. But then I found out via a friend that the Roundup glyphosate, whichever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Glyphosate is the main ingredient in Roundup, but it has other ingredients which make it even worse. So, but the Roundup also disrupts the normal functioning of several gene cells, sonic hedgehog genes being one of the types of genes, and the sonic hedgehog genes tell the facial bones when to start growing, how big to grow, and the placement of the teeth, and how big they should grow. And the teeth were too big, and the teeth were all crooked. And the deer have lower teeth. Ruminants have lower teeth and a dental pad on the bottom and a dental pad on the top. So they don't have upper and lower teeth like humans and horses and dogs and cats and things like that.
Right.
But the dogs and cats are now having lots of underbite, according to the dentist here. But that's easy to keep them from having that, because I tried it on my goats. And I gave them, each mother goat, a calc floss, and a bioplasma tablet in a slice of apple every day, morning and night. And none of their babies had any birth defects.
I'll be darned. So then, of course, for the domestic animals, it's easy to conjecture that most people, I mean, most of our listeners are smarter, but most people out there don't understand the kibble and the canned food and the stuff they're giving their dogs and cats are full of glyphosates and stuff if they're not totally organic and they don't know, you know, they don't have any idea.
Speaking of that, I did want, when you were talking about the Beaker Boys.
Yeah, the Beaker Boys, yeah, we like
okay.
them. Okay,
yeah. So they're going to test their things on all of these little rats and things,
yes,
right?
Yes, ma'am.
Guess what they're feeding the
rats?
I
know, GMOs and glyphosate stuff, right?
The rodent... chow.
Yes.
Has been tested, and it has biologically significant amounts of glyphosate in it. How can you? Doesn't that totally contaminate all of your studies?
I would think so.
I
would think so. What about?
So how can you tell what's happening with your new pharmaceutical? What your new pharmaceutical is doing as opposed to what the glyphosate is doing,
yes,
and all of the other chemicals. Glyphosate isn't the only chemical in the, it isn't the only herbicide or insecticide or whatever. We'll just call it pesticides. That's the umbrella term. And the only pesticide in the rodent chow or in the human products, but something like, well, over 80% of processed foods for humans now have that have been tested have glyphosate in them.
Yes, ma'am. So, and you could only conjecture or theorize that in labs around the world, universities where all these studies go on and stuff, I would suspect they get the cheapest, just dumbest old rodent chow to keep their little mice living, wouldn't they? I mean, they're not going to go out and buy organic.
No, they don't buy organic. I think they have, well, one of the main rodent chows, and it used to be one of the best, was Purina. But Purina also now, because they use grain, and almost all the grains are contaminated. I grow an organic garden. We don't spray anything, but all my food that I get from my garden is covered with chemicals because the chemicals are coming from Washington, Oregon, and Idaho over those Bitterroot Mountains and raining and on my garden and into the water that I use to irrigate the garden.
Have you had the water tested?
Oh, well, they've tested the water in lots of places, and I did test the water, but not for Roundup. See, originally I thought chlorothalonil, the fungicide, was the one that was the main culprit in making the underbites, and it is. It was, but it worked synergistically with the Roundup, and when they started using millions and millions and millions of pounds of chlorothalonil, as opposed to less than 100,000. They were using less than 100,000 pounds before 1994. In the summer of 94, they went to several million. By 1997, when I couldn't keep hardly anything alive, including me, they were using, you know, several million pounds of. But what I didn't know was that in 1996, they started using millions and millions and millions of new pounds of, in the summer of 96,
of Roundup,
because they planted all the Roundup ready, a whole lot of different Roundup ready crops in the states west of us and here in the Bitterroot Valley. But the chlorothalonil was the most interesting because I did test it. I caught snow water in pans in March when nobody was spraying anything anywhere here or in the states west of us, immediately west of us, because nobody sprays at that time. And there was a half a part per billion chlorothalonil, the fungicide chlorothalonil, was in the snow water falling in the middle of our yard in glass pans, and I didn't collect it correctly to catch all of the chlorothalonil, according to all of the chemists that I talked to, but there was still enough, five times more than it takes to kill a frog.
Really?
Or to kill a baby.
And
fetus.
The chlorothalonil, what is that? Is that part of the Roundup package?
Chlorothalonil is a fungicide. In 1994, all of the potato fields got potato blight, and they were not using hardly any fungicides before 1994, but when they got and especially chlorothalonil, they were using less than 10,000 pounds in all those states together.
Yeah.
In 1993 and before.
Yeah.
In 1994, when they got potato blight, they started using millions of pounds.
Wow. So, and that's when you saw the big.
And in 1995, all those animals had birth defects. Yeah. And that was before they started using lots of glyphosate.
That's when you saw the big push.
On the Roundup Ready crops. In 1996, they started using the glyphosate on the Roundup Ready crops, and then everything went down the tube.
Yeah. So it must be then that the moms, if they're eating the food, and it's affecting the little ones in utero, if it happened that quickly. I mean, you saw the changes when the...
Oh, yeah. They were eating the grass and breathing and drinking.
The water.
I mean, when it's snowing and raining chlorothalonil, it's all over everything. It's in your water. It's on all the plants. They did a study in Glacier, the USGS did, and found that the male fish in the high mountain lakes in Glacier National Park, which is 100 and some miles north of us, 150 miles north of us, and it had the highest levels of pesticides of any of the national parks they tested, and they tested 8 national parks. And it was the closest one to us that they tested. And I was told before the USGS did that study that the chemicals could, and I was told this by scientists who worked here in the Bitterroot Valley, that those chemicals could not come all the way from the potato fields in Idaho to the Bitterroot Valley, or from the potato fields or wheat fields or whatever fields in Washington and Oregon, because they said it just couldn't come that far. Well, that was really stupid, because when Mount St. Helens came, blew up its stack in at 9 o'clock in the morning, by 2:30 in the afternoon, the ash was coming over the Bitterroot Mountains.
Sure, yeah, I mean...
So anything that you spray in Washington and Oregon gets here either that day or the next day.
Yeah, so... Perhaps there's even more of a challenge with these kinds of things in places where we maybe think of as being cleaner, wide open spaces, where you are Northwest, all Midwest, you know, because of all the big agriculture business up there. Is that fair?
Yes, that's fair. Yeah. But it's just as bad. We're in Georgia, Georgia, I think, is the place they use the most chlorothalonil, and places upwind of Georgia were having lots of problems. But at the same time as we were having problems with the animals here, the horse foals back east in the Kentucky were dying like flies from underbites and crooked legs and all kinds of stuff, and they blamed a caterpillar.
Oh, good. Judy, here's an email, Julie, from Marie. This is a good question. I would like to get my water tested. I'm on well water. And she didn't say where she is. What specific chemicals should I be checking for? Can Judy give me what should I ask for?
Well,
I know. So I guess, and I can preface this, because I've had
the one that we found in our well was arsenic. It depends on where you are. See, we live in the Rocky Mountains, and arsenic is a real problem.
Right. Well, What she's asking is this. There's some big labs that'll do a whole spectrum. I've done it on my rainwater, where they do like 150 different items, right? For, you know, whatever
right.
it is, $100 or $150. But for some specific ones, you have to ask for it and pay extra to get it tested. She's wondering if there are some that you know that she needs to ask for.
Well, the problem is, our well is 560 feet deep, so it's not going to have any pesticides in it, probably. The pesticides wouldn't get down that far. But if your well is 50 feet deep, you might get pesticides in it from the snow and rain. So it totally depends on where you live and how deep your well is and what chemicals in the ground. So we tested for arsenic, and our it was too high for drinking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, though, I would suggest that at some point all of the water goes down to all of the aquifers all over the planet. I mean,
not 560 feet deep.
Where does that water come from?
That was water that was made when the dinosaurs were here. I mean, that got down there when the dinosaurs were here. It takes a long time for things to go around and around.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure you're correct in that. I don't think 500 feet is pristine water, but you may be correct.
No, I didn't say it was pristine. I said it wasn't drinkable.
Oh yeah, well I know. I got a 500 foot well that I don't use because it's not drinkable, and you know.
I said it wasn't drinkable because it had arsenic in it.
Oh, because it had arsenic.
There was high arsenic in the ground, in the soil, or the rocks, or whatever, that's way down there.
Gotcha. What do you do then,
Judy? The shallow wells here don't have the arsenic in it.
I'll be done. What do you do to clean up your water to get it all out, to drink it?
Oh, we don't drink it. I use it for other stuff, but we don't drink it, We get water in jugs.
I see. Okay.
We get refills at the grocery store that are supposed to not have that stuff in it.
Oh, you mean?
Although I'm not sure it doesn't have other stuff in it.
Yeah. Here's an email for you. Can you ask Judy about the use of cell salts for humans? Have been looking for more information, but haven't learned much, particularly if they can be used with teeth remineralization.
Oh, well, I can't say much of anything except that I started taking CalcFos and Bioplasma, one tablet of each, and it says four tablets on the bottle. Don't pay any attention to that. I called them up and asked them why they said four tablets. The guy who makes it in California,
yeah,
the head guy,
yeah.
And I asked him how it works. He didn't know. And he said, I asked him, well, why do you say to take four tablets at a time? Because actually, that's totally counterproductive. You take one tablet, and the effects run out on Bioplasma in 3 hours. The critters said so, and critters don't lie. Doctors do.
Right. Okay. I'm with you.
On the CalcFos 30X, the effects do not run out until 6 hours. So I just take one of each three times a day now because I'm older. But I started out taking it twice a day, one tablet each twice a day, and that's what kept the goats from having malformed babies. And
there you go. Okay.
I have not had a cavity since.
I'll be done. We have both
and
of these.
So that's all I know about mineral.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's good. We have both of these cell salts in our store for those of you listening. The Bioplasma and the CalcFloss in our store on One Radio Network. They're very inexpensive, and Judy's taking one each three times a day, and that'll probably get you going. When you have the animals underbites and overbites, is there a time frame, Judy Hoy, where the cell salts do not work? In other words, they don't get it back as it gets too far along?
Well, with little animals, the best time to give it, well, baby birds, you have to give it before they get their feathers.
Yeah.
I mean, if you...
well, how about dogs and cats?
Birds grow really fast.
Yeah,
with little baby animals like deer or cattle or horses,
yeah.
If you don't give it in the first 2 months, then you probably, if they have a really bad underbite, it probably will not grow to normal. We tried it on a 7-month-old foal, and it didn't make them grow to normal. But an equally bad underbite on a newborn foal was normal in 2 weeks.
I'll be darned. So then,
the sooner you do it after they're born, the better the result. However, it did work. Mother gave her little girl, who had a really bad underbite, and her whole upper face was underdeveloped, including the skull. She gave her the CalcFos 6X, and I don't know how long it took, because I only saw the little girl one time. I saw the little girl when she was three, and then I saw when, and then the mom started giving her the CalcFos, I guess, after when she was three. And when she was five, I saw the little girl, and I didn't recognize her. She had a perfect bite and a perfect face, and she was gorgeous instead of ugly.
And how old was she when mom started giving her the cell salts?
About three, I think.
About three, wow. So I guess there's
On little kids, it's different than little colts. So yeah. I assume that before they get their adult teeth, it would at least help a lot on little kids. On this little girl, I figured, I didn't figure anything was going to ever fix her face because she was really bad.
Now, most of the feed that people feed their horses or their cows when they don't have grass, and then even the grass can be an issue, as you said, are feeding alfalfa.
Well, the hay.
Yeah, the hay is alfalfa.
The hay is sprayed with Roundup.
That's all. All the alfalfa hay is all
yeah.
Roundup stuff. So are you seeing a lot of cows and horses up your way with the malformations?
Well, I don't see that many cows and horses, but I look at every single calf that's ever, the pictures of calves that are sent to me by PETA when on their advertisements, every
yeah.
single calf, because they don't like the dairy calves
right.
being put in those little things,
right.
and they send pictures of the poor little dairy calf. Well, the poor little dairy calf, every single one of them that they send has an underbite.
No kidding, really.
No kidding. So I don't see calves. I don't see horses. But if you type in any animal, including children, you type in the name of the animal, then underbite, and then image on your Google, and you'll get a whole lot of photos that are really horrible underbites.
Yeah. Let's take this phone call for you. Thanks for holding on the phone. Who's this?
Hi. My name is Adam. I'm from Ohio. How you doing, Judy? Hi.
Hey, listen, I heard your show with Patrick a year or two ago, and I thought it was fascinating, especially the glyphosate, bioplasma, Highland homeopathic, the way you put those two together and actually saw results with it. I also remember that little story about that little girl. You told it in that interview again back then. So I have a couple of questions. One's kind of general. Actually, you probably already answered it, but I was wondering if, you know, the Highland homeopathics, bioplasma, and the number 2 and a 30X would be good for everybody to take in order to counter the effects of glyphosate, because it's my belief that, you know, no matter how hard you try, you're not going to be able to avoid it because it's on everything, even if it's organic. It's still there. I know that. So it's impossible to
avoid. Okay. Judy, what do you think?
Well, all I know is that I'm 77 years old and I feel fine. And speaking, you were talking about cancer. I can't tell people to take stuff. I will get arrested.
Right, I understand.
So, but on me, it did wonders. It made all of the bad things go away, like rheumatoid arthritis and digestive problems and acid reflux. And I haven't had a headache since I started taking it. And I used to have headaches all the time. You know, migraine headaches that everybody takes all of those other horrible things for.
Yeah.
I haven't had a headache. I don't have headaches anymore since as long as I take it at least 3 times a day, one tablet of each, Calc Plus 30X and Bioplasma, one tablet each, 3 times a day. And if I get zapped, then I usually take it in the middle of the night, too, zapped by chemicals,
yeah.
If I start feeling bad.
Okay, Judy.
If you get sick, if you drink electrolytes and take those two every 3 hours, you'll get well faster, at least I do.
Electrolytes when they, like the...
That's like Pedialyte.
Yeah, yeah, like the emergency, they got this electrolyte formula, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Another question, Adam?
Yeah, okay, so just so you know, after that last interview that you guys did a couple years ago, my daughter, and my son all started using the Bioplasma and the number 2 on roughly, you know, a daily basis, but we're using it a little bit different. I read where you can, you know, mix it in with a jar full of water distilled, shake it up, and then kind of drink it throughout the day. Do you think that would still be a feasible way to do it, or do you think you should just take the pill straight? And then I do have one more very specific question. But what do you think about that application or that way of?
Well, in the water, even in the water, they run out. The Bioplasma runs out in 3 hours. So if you're if you shake it up in water, your Calc Plus will, if it's the number 230X, that one will last for 6 hours in the water, but you won't have the Bioplasma effect any. The Bioplasma won't be working with it anymore.
Okay.
Oh, so you feel like even once you put it in water, then that 3 hour count starts, regardless of whether you consume it or not.
I still have people put it in their dog's drinking water, but I just tell them to drop it in there two or three times a day. I mean, give them some new water or else just put new tablets in.
Just put them in their mouth.
Especially the Bioplasma, again, morning, noon, and night.
Okay.
Okay. One other question then. My son is 12 years old now, and after I heard that interview a couple of years ago, I started doing the Bioplasma and the number 2 in a 30X because, you know, his teeth were straight, and I wanted to avoid crowding. Now, recently, I've been told that he does have crowded teeth, and I just noticed in his mouth, like his upper teeth, one of them near the canine, I don't know if it's a canine or not, but one of those teeth is starting to turn out a little bit because of the crowding. Again, now at 12 years old, do you think there's anything more that we can do for him? Again, I was hoping that the homeopathics would help, and we started that about a year or two ago, but he still has crowded teeth. They are starting to turn out. He does have some of
okay.
the...
Okay, oh, we get it. Okay, there, you know, it's probably a dental question. Judy Hoy, this certainly wouldn't hurt for Adam to give their child ongoing, right? I mean,
like I said, I haven't had a cavity since I started taking.
Yeah, Adam, I would keep going with it.
And that's 20 years.
Yeah. Keep going with it, and There are a lot of overcrowding, Adam, and others, with just in general malnutrition, you know, in our culture. I mean, the orthodontists, you know, they got waiting lines, you know.
Yeah, they do.
You know what I mean? It's a big issue. But the boys should keep giving it to them, right, Judy, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah.
Why not?
I would, but all of the side effects of giving Galkfoss and Bioplasma have been great on the little critters. It makes your hair grow. It makes your fingernails grow. It makes their talons grow better. It makes their beaks grow
better.
Okay,
we got to move on because we got another guest coming. Thanks, Adam. Thanks. See you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank
you. Let's see. Here's an email. I was listening to a talk by Dr. Dietrich Klinghart. Says an email, says that 65% of the rain contains glyphosate. Has Judy Hoy done any rain samples for glyphosates or other chemicals?
The only one I ever tested for was the chlorothalonil, and I figured, well, if it was coming here, so was all the rest. But the USGS tested Glacier Park, which is not far from us, and found a whole lot. Some of them, they said, were coming from China.
Yeah. How do you spell chlorothionol? Just give us a...
C-H-L-O-R-O-T-H-A-L-O-N-I-L.
Good job.
Did I spell that too fast?
I don't know. You did. Yeah. I was going to get my rainwater. I haven't had it tested for a few years and get it tested and see if they can test for those two things.
But see, the chlorothalonil use went down because they plowed up one-third of the potato fields, number one, and number two, the blight went kind of went away. I mean, they got it killed or got it, you know, it's not an issue. But then they started using way more glyphosate, and they also, in 2006, they did something really bad. In 2007, the underbites went up from 33% to over 70%, and they stayed there until through 2013. In 2014, 15, and 16, the underbites on the deer went down by almost half, from around 80% in 2013 to 40% in the next 3 years. And I don't know what they're going to be this year. And I don't know why they went down.
Yeah.
But I think they used a little less glyphosate the last 3 years or something. I'm not sure. But I don't know what they did in 2006 to make them double in 2007. But we suspected it was because they changed the formulation of a whole lot of different herbicides from one kind of formulation to a salt formulation. That's the only thing that Stephanie and Nancy and I could find that they had done different on a whole lot of things to make everything go haywire in 2007.
Well, as you can visualize, if you're talking about the air and the water and the feed and then also the natural grass and stuff like that, it's a pretty Myers cocktail kind of thing going on.
Exactly.
You know,
it's impossible to tell. Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to determine what's actually happening.
Sam writes in to Judy Hoy, since the World Health Organization claimed glyphosate was a carcinogenic and may cause cancer, why can't we, whoever we is, sue for fraud and injury since they have claimed no harm since the beginning?
Well, that's an excellent question. Sue away.
Sue away.
Actually, one of the highest correlations was with liver cancer, which I was seeing so many little critters with liver tumors like crazy. And so that was the last thing we looked up. That was an afterthought on the study. I sent that query to Stephanie and said, look up liver cancer in all ages, and she did, and I think that one was 93% correlation or something. Well, how do you have a 93% correlation with liver cancer in humans if glyphosate isn't doing it, or at least doesn't have a really strong isn't a strong factor is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, before we go, Dr. Weil's going to be calling, so let's just recap. So what you know after all these years of looking at this, what could you recommend to our listeners around the world, and they're all over the place, some of the best things, and you're not giving medical advice, just what you could recommend that they could do to help to keep these glyphosates and stuff out of their body and their kids.
Well, buy organic and promote organic as much as possible. But even like I said, as long as and try to work as hard as possible to get glyphosate banned. The only way you're going to get it out of anything is to ban it. And even then, it's going to be in the soil and everywhere for a long time, just like DDT is. The other thing is that if you take your sulfur, I take sulfur every day because if I don't, because it's good for your lungs, for one thing, and that's the only problem I have. Ever since they started using the chlorothalonil in 1994, I've had a problem with my lungs, and now I have full-blown pulmonary fibro. Let's see, what do you get? Pulmonary fibrosis. I think that's the one it's called. At any rate, so that I take the sulfur plus the two tablets of the two homeopathic cell salts. And by the way, I should say that homeopathic cell salts aren't magic. They aren't anything. They don't actually do anything. They just make the cells work better because they're an electrolyte.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. So they allow the calcium and the phosphorus, whatever, to get in working. That's what they do. They're not actually...
They help the cells uptake the minerals that they need, which is really hard to get the proper amount of minerals when you're getting them chelated constantly by the glyphosate in all your food.
I understand. Ms. Hoy, we need to go. Our next guest is ready. Thanks to you for your work. Judy Hoy, she's in up in Montana, and we're going to figure out a way how to get this PDF, which is all about some beautiful pictures and some of the birth defects and some of the things she's been working with, the cell salts and the glyphosates. And she's been working with Stephanie Seneff out of MIT on some of these things. So keep it up, Judy. Take care of all the little animals. And thanks for being here.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. Bye.
Judy Hoy. And now we're going to go to Dr. Weil.